The following program, Mind Over Matters, is sponsored by TCFIHAW LLC, and to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio or its management. Experience a full mind, body, and spirit approach to living your best life. Learn how to achieve optimal health, wealth, and happiness. This is your journey to wellness and abundance. You are listening to Mind Over Matters with your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. As you know, I'm a double board certified integrative and now interventional clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional medicine. I'm also a certified wellness instructor, best-selling author and speaker, and the director for the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness. Hey, as you know, the purpose of the show is to get you thinking about how powerful your mind is and what you can do right now by harnessing your mind and changing your behaviors, changing your habits, changing your body, anything you can do holistically to create more health, more wealth, more happiness, a more centered and grounded lifestyle. Certainly, I would say that health and wellness is at the hub of everything good, because without our health, you know, everything else suffers. So I want to ask, what if I told you that you could completely reverse most of your health issues with just some simple interventions? Guys out there, what if you could completely reverse erectile dysfunction? What would that mean to your sense of self-worth? What would that mean to your sense of vitality? Or, you know, would you believe me if I told you that you can prevent most types of cancer, including breast cancer, women, you know, with just some simple foods? Or what if you could completely balance your mind and body with some simple but strategic changes? Would you do it? Is it important enough for you to make those changes? What if your health and life depended on it? Is it worth it? Is it worth the effort? So on the show, we're going to answer these questions and so many more. I'm actually thrilled to have a very, very special guest on today's show, someone whose work and mission I've admired for years, Dr. Neil Barnard. He'll talk about his new book, Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Foods, Hormones, and Health. So, Doc, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Hey, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your work, who you are, and then I want to dive into all this goodness because, you know, as a functional medicine provider, I've admired your work for years, as I've said, but a lot of people are still, you know, either unfamiliar with functional medicine and, you know, nutritional-based therapies, or they're just getting, you know, acquainted with the idea of it. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've done.
Well, thank you. I'm a physician, and I'm on the adjunct faculty at the George Washington University School of Medicine, which is here in Washington, D.C. I have to say that although I have done a lot of work integrating healthy nutrition into medical practice, and we have managed to hit on some very, I think, important new ways of approaching things like diabetes and weight problems and cholesterol issues and chronic pain using nutritional interventions that can become part of our medical armamentarium. Despite all that fact, the truth is that I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and I ate all the wrong things for half my life. my dad was a cattle rancher up until he was the time when he was big enough to say, I don't want to do this anymore. We ate just about every day roast beef, baked potatoes, and corn, except for special occasions when it was roast beef, baked potatoes, and peas. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really think about the nutrition side of things at all, but now we are putting it to use. I also have a clinic here that we run called Barnard Medical Center here in Washington, D.C., where it's straight-ahead medical care, but we make sure that nutrition is a big part of it because, frankly, bad nutrition is why most of the people are not doing very well in our society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let me ask you this then. How did you discover that foods could help hormone-related problems? Yeah, I know you touch on this, you dive right into it in your new book, Your Body in Balance. As I said, The New Science of Foods, Hormones, and Health. How did you discover that foods help hormone-related problems, because they run rampant now?
They do, and it's not something that your average person would connect with food. If you imagine a couple that's dealing with infertility, and year after mm-hmm. year, it's just not working, and they're spending a fortune on evaluations and treatments and things. Or simpler than that, maybe a 15-year-old girl who's, you know, lying on the floor because menstrual cramps are really tearing her up. An older person who's maybe facing a hormone-related cancer, like breast cancer, mm-hmm. or prostate cancer, or other hormone issues, thyroid hormone is misbehaving, or diabetes. All of these things are conditions where the hormones that go from one organ, like your pancreas, which makes insulin that goes to the cells of the body, the hormones go from one place to another to direct how your body functions. They are misbehaving all the time, and it turns out that if you change what you eat for breakfast or lunch and dinner, you can get your hormones back into balance. And the way I was introduced to this was a complete accident. My phone rang at my desk. Mm-hmm. It was a young woman who said, I've got a business meeting tomorrow, but I can't even get out of bed. She had cramps, which for maybe 1 in 10 women are off the scale, cannot function today, mm-hmm. bad. And as she was describing this, I thought, well, you need some pretty heavy-duty painkillers, which is true. However, the question was, how do we stop this from happening again the next month? And
exactly.
I just made an educated guess. What I suggested to her was, would you like to do a diet experiment for the next month? I'll give you some painkillers for now, mm-hmm. but how about for the next 4 weeks, no animal products in your diet at all. I'm going to make you into a vegan, and keep oils to a bare minimum. And I'm sure she had no idea why I would suggest this, mm-hmm. but she said, I'll try it.
She's desperate at that point.
she was desperate. She called me back a month later and said, this is amazing. My period arrived with no symptoms whatsoever. And so this continued month after month. It was a cure for her. So I thought, we need to test this. And so with colleagues at Georgetown University's Department of OBGYN, we did a study. And we found that in a large group of women, it works. It not only helps reduce cramps, it helps reduce PMS symptoms like bloating, mm-hmm. water retention, and moodiness, and so forth. And in the course of this study, we asked all the women not to use any kind of birth control pills or any other hormone medications, because mm-hmm. that would goof up what we were doing in the study. And one of the women said, don't worry about me. I don't use birth control. I don't use anything, because my husband and I were evaluated for why we couldn't get pregnant. And it wasn't him. It was me. I'm infertile. I don't ovulate. This is what she told me. Mm-hmm. The second month that she went on the low-fat vegan diet that we were testing, she came into our research center and she said, Dr. Barnard, I've got some bad news and some good news. The bad news is I'm leaving your study. And the good news is I am pregnant. And she thought she was infertile, but she changed her diet along the way I described. No animal products, keeping oils low, and it got her back into balance. And she, in fact, I saw her several years later. She had 3 children.
Wow.
Now. So anyway.
Did she name one of them after you?
I didn't ask about that. However, just to be really quick about why I made this educated guess, I'm going to say, we have known for a long time that estrogens are misbehaving when a woman has cramps. Estrogens are female sex hormones. If you have a little bit too much of them circulating in your blood, it makes cramps worse. It goofs up fertility, and it both for men and for women. And we've also known that you can change how much estrogen is in your blood by reducing fat and increasing fiber. Fiber is plant roughage, and by avoiding cheese. Odd as that sounds. And so the diet I recommended had the most fiber you could get in a diet and the least fat you could get in a diet, and it didn't have any cheese in it. And bingo, that was it. So we started then exploring other kinds of hormonal mm-hmm. issues like thyroid hormone or diabetes.
For sure.
And for men, fertility issues, and also for things that men are troubled by, like erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. More and more common, right?
Very common. And a lot of men go to the doctor and say, Doc, I've got low T, give me some testosterone treatments, which is actually, in my view, a very poor decision on for this particular situation, because the cause is something else.
Absolutely. Those hormones have to be balanced. And I think this is where doing some very specific lab work becomes absolutely invaluable. You know, test, yep. don't guess. You know, I want to We're heading into the break, but I want to talk about medications and, you know, how much they're used or even overused when we come back. Because, you know, whether we're talking about increased estrogen levels and women being put on hormone replacement or men thinking it's an issue with low T, it all comes back to your hormones and they have to be in balance. Hence, you know, your book title, Your Body in Balance. So stick around. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. We've got a very special guest, Dr. Neil Barnard. We'll be right back.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to our show today titled Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Foods, Hormones, and Health, which is actually the new book written by Dr. Neil Barnard. He is a leading integrative and functional medicine expert here in the United States. Maybe you're familiar with Forks Over Knives or some of his other many books. Well, it's a great show. I'm glad you've tuned in. If you've missed any of the show, though, you can catch a podcast on this great station, or you can check us out online at thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. If you've got questions, send me an email directly. It's healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. Again, healthandwellness@thecifhw.com. Doc, if our listeners have questions for you, where can you drive them to get more information on the groundbreaking and healing work that you're doing?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Our website is pcrm.com. .org. That stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org.
Love it. Love it. So we're talking about, you know, responsible medicine, and that brings me to the question of medications. Are medications overused? You know, certainly in my practice, a lot of our patients come because they are experiencing polypharmacy. They're on so many different meds, and a lot of times they're on the same classification of medications for, you know, the same thing. And that's just got to be wreaking havoc all over their body, especially hormone imbalance. So in your clinical and expert opinion, are medications overused?
Yeah, they sure are for many, many conditions. Now, don't get me wrong. Medications have an extremely important role.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anybody listening to this to don't throw your medications away and don't cancel your doctor's appointment.
Exactly.
These are all important things. However, there are other things that need to be explored first, particularly in conditions where the cause of it has nothing to do with medication. For example, if a person has high cholesterol, that's usually not caused by a Lipitor deficiency. It's caused by eating double bacon cheeseburgers. If a person has high blood pressure, that's not caused by a deficiency of lisinopril. Mm-hmm. It's caused by eating a diet that has caused the blood pressure to go up. I'm going to say that's probably true in 80 or 90% of cases. There are cases where diet isn't the issue. But let me give you an example where drugs and procedures, I think, are greatly overused. There was a young woman in the Air Force. Her name is Catherine. This is a real person. Mm-hmm. She was over in Iraq in 2003 designing the military bases and working really hard. And when you're in a war zone, you don't gain weight. You know, you're not eating much. You're working hard. When she got discharged, you know, when her tour of duty came to an end, she came back to the U.S., and she's found herself tucking into all the stuff that she hadn't been able to eat overseas. So it's mac and cheese this and cheese that, and she started gaining weight. A friend gave her an entire case of macaroni and cheese dinners. The 48 box, you know, those blue
boxes. That's really
boxes.
A frenemy.
Well, she said, you know, all the time I was overseas, I was dreaming about my comfort food. So her friend gave her this, and she actually ate them for 48 days straight.
Wow.
But I'm not making this up. But anyway, she gained weight, but she also developed pain in her abdomen that turned out to be endometriosis.
Yeah.
And endometriosis is a condition, extremely common, where there are cells that are supposed to be in the uterus. They're lining the uterus. That's called the endometrium. But they have sneaked out into the abdomen, and they're now implanting all around the abdomen, and they swell, and they hurt. they bleed, they cause inflammation, they cause scarring. And she had this, what I'm going to call stage four endometriosis. Anyway, the doctor's response is, let's use painkillers for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very common. It doesn't work. Let's use hormones. Didn't work for her. Finally, the doctor said, well, we've got a procedure. It's a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I'm 27. You know, my husband and I are kind of newlyweds. We haven't raised our family yet. Nothing else was working. And so she scheduled the procedure for about 6 weeks later. But before she could do it, a nutrition expert, she met with a nutrition expert who said, let's change your diet. And she gave her effectively the same diet that we had discovered was helpful for menstrual cramps, avoiding animal products, keeping oils low. And she started to feel better, dramatically better, not 100%, but better. Nonetheless, at 6 weeks, she showed up at the operating room, very dutiful, I'm going to have my hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. And they anesthetized her. And about an hour later, she woke up in the recovery room, and the doctor was shaking her shoulder, saying, Catherine, I need you to wake up. I need to tell you something. I looked inside. They look inside with a laparoscope, where they're gonna remove the uterus through the laparoscope. And he said, I looked inside, but your endometriosis is effectively gone.
Wow.
You've got some scarring where it used to be, and you had some bad adhesions that caused some of the residual pain. I freed up the adhesions, but I didn't take your uterus out. I didn't feel good about that.
Fantastic.
Somehow, your endometriosis has disappeared. Anyway, her mother's in the recovery room with her saying, she went vegan! and so the doctor said, like, no way. You know, stop it. You know, foods don't cause endometriosis.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't have anything to do with it, and there's no way that the diet change could help. Now, first of all, I want to give this doctor some praise for doing the procedure.
Absolutely, because most of them would have.
Exactly, and he said, I'm going to leave you your organs intact.
Wow.
But, however, what he missed was the effect of how foods affect estrogen. Yeah, if you're eating a diet that doesn't have much fiber in it, that has a lot of fat in it, your estrogen levels go up, that pushes the endometriosis process.
And I'm sure he didn't. I want to pause right there and say, you know, to that end, we're talking about endometriosis, but what about breast cancer, Doc? You know, because and more women are being diagnosed with breast cancer at earlier ages too. So, you know, how does nutrition play a bigger role in the medical approach to breast cancer and other hormone-related cancers? You know, certainly not just endometriosis.
Huge role. Yeah. And the same thing, menstrual pain doesn't kill you, endometriosis doesn't kill you, infertility doesn't kill you, but breast cancer can. But it's the same kind of dynamic. We know that if a woman has too much estrogen going through her bloodstream, this is the natural hormone that is made in the ovaries, but if you have too much of it, it enters the cells of the breast and can lead the DNA inside the cell to change, and that turns it into a cancer cell.
Mm-hmm.
So you want a certain amount of estrogen, but you do not want to have the excess of estrogen. And so the same thing in a man's body. If he has too much testosterone, he's at a higher risk for prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to calm this down, one way is the liver, your liver, every minute of every day is filtering your blood and removing the excess estrogen and testosterone. It sends it into the intestinal tract, and that's where fiber carries it away. But if you didn't have any fiber in your diet because you ate salmon or chicken breast or an omelet, these are animal products. Animal products don't have fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber is plant roughage. If you don't have that, then what happens is the excess estrogen or testosterone that your liver has sent into your digestive tract, it doesn't stay there because there's no fiber to hold it there. It ends up being reabsorbed back into the bloodstream, and it just cycles around causing more and more and more mischief and elevating the risk of breast cancer. Number two, if women are eating unhealthy foods, cheese and meat and so forth, and gaining weight, body fat makes more estrogen, and that stimulates the risk of postmenopausal breast cancer.
Wow.
So a healthy diet conquers all these things.
It really does.
Exactly the opposite of the way I grew up is eating a plant-based diet is the way to go.
Well, you didn't know. You know, when we were growing up, that's what was promoted. You know, the food industry, the government, that was what was being promoted. So we think that we're doing the right things. Even today, there's so much misinformation with regards to nutrition or exercise. People think they're eating healthy foods, low fat, no fat, low sugar, no sugar. You know, and those are just, you know, fake foods, what I call frankenfoods. So we don't know what we don't know until, you know, there's a crisis that hits or we're fortunate enough to, you know, stumble upon a mentor or have, you know, an insight-oriented idea. So, you know, we don't know what we don't know. You know, one of the things, you know, I want to quote is from Thomas Jefferson. And I think this was featured in the Forks Over Knives documentary. And Thomas Edison said, "The doctor of the future will no longer treat the human frame with drugs, but rather will cure and prevent disease with nutrition." So, you know, I think, you know, when we come back, you know, in this next segment, I want to talk more about that. And certainly, you know, more of the major hormones, insulin, you mentioned that a couple times. So we definitely need to talk about what a central role that plays. So stick around. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen, with my very special guest, Dr. Neil Barnard. We'll be right back.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen, with my very special guest, Dr. Neil Barnard. So if you missed any of the show, you can catch a podcast on this great station, or you can check us out online. It's www.thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. If you've got questions, comments, if you're dealing with some hormone-related issues or chronic health issues, please give us a call, 630-980-1400. We can certainly do telehealth and virtual consultations, not a problem. But we want to put you in a position where you're in control of your health. And to that end, I want to invite you out to our upcoming Facebook Live presentations. Our next one will be Understanding and Reversing Thyroid Disorders. It is Thursday, April 9th, 6:30 p.m. Tune in to our Facebook Live page. It's facebook.com/TheCIFHW. Again, Thursday, April 9th, 6:30 p.m. Facebook Live on TheCIFHW.com. Because we're going to be talking a lot about hormones and hormone imbalance and just the devastation that could cause to your mind and body. And this is one of the huge area of expertise with Dr. Neil Barnard, is helping people understand the bigger role of hormones and hormone-related health issues. You know, we spent some time talking about, you know, the role of increased estrogen, talked about low T and the need to, you know, balance that in relation to other hormones, and the huge role that nutrition plays. So, you know, what about diabetes, though? Because, you know, diabetes is going through the roof, right? And people are like, well, I'll just take my insulin, or I'll just take my metformin. And a lot of times, you know, the research shows that that causes, you know, what's sometimes referred to as double diabetes. It can actually make your diabetes worse. So hormone is the, you know, or insulin rather, is that hormone that plays a central role in diabetes. And you've done a lot of research in that area. Tell us about some of your findings, Doc.
Yes. And so that everyone understands what we're talking about, insulin is the hormone. It's made in the pancreas, which is an organ right behind your belly button. And the insulin goes out of the pancreas into the bloodstream. And then it arrives at the surface of the cells of the body, where it acts really like a key to let sugar or glucose into the cell. And so you need sugar to get into your cell, because that's what powers them. That's what gives you energy. And if insulin is not doing its job, then you have a condition called insulin resistance. The cells are resisting insulin. The key is not opening the cell, and the glucose can't get inside. And so up until fairly recently, most people just left it at that. They thought, okay, Well, I won't eat any sugar, and if sugar can't get into my cells, then I just won't eat sugar because it'll raise my blood sugar. And I won't eat any bread because bread digests to sugar, and so I won't eat that either. And that's about as far as it went. And when people do that, they are always going to have diabetes. They're never going to get rid of it just by making those changes. So what is new is that we've discovered why this is all happening. It turns out that as the insulin is going through the bloodstream and arriving at the cell, let's say that cell has gotten too filled up with fat because I had a cheese pizza today that was filled with grease.
How'd you know what I had for breakfast? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Or I had some French fries dripping with grease. Or I had some fried chicken or a steak. The fat that gets into your muscle cells and your liver cells, it stops insulin from being able to work. So just to be clear, what I'm saying is the cells of the body will start to accumulate fat, little fat particles, and if they fill up with fat, the insulin key doesn't function anymore. And so the sugar that's in your blood can't get into the cell. Mm-hmm. So in 2003, this is almost two decades ago, the federal government, the National Institutes of Health, gave a grant to my research team to try to find a diet to correct this. And so we said, well, if there's fat building up inside your cells making insulin not work, let's get the fat out of your diet. Mm-hmm. So we eliminated animal products, so that would get rid of all animal fat. We kept oils to a bare minimum, too. So even if it's extra virgin olive oil, I wanted to drain the fat out of people's cells. So we kept all oils to a minimum. And we started to discover something that we had never seen before, which was diabetes going away.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people who thought this was a one-way street. Now I've got diabetes, I'll have it forever. And we started seeing people where they no longer had diabetes. And that was mind-blowing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that everyone with diabetes is going to make it go away. What I am saying is that if you get to catch this disease really early, and if you make the right kind of diet changes, your medication needs can reduce, your blood sugars can get better, and in some cases you will be absolutely normal, and no clinic in the world would be able to diagnose you with this condition.
Absolutely. Diabetes, it's absolutely reversible. We reversed my mom's diabetes when she was in her early 70s with just dietary changes. That's it. So a lot of people, like you said earlier, Doc, they think, you know, when they go to the doctor, they're diagnosed with type 1 or type 2, they're given the medication, and what are they being told? They're being told you're going to be on this medication for the rest of your life. So let me ask just a clarifying question. Are you saying that, you know, a vegan diet is helpful for type 1 diabetes or only for type 2, or can you clarify that?
Yeah, great question. In type 2, your body is still making insulin. And this is the one where a diet that is vegan plus very low in oil. So this is a time, even healthy fats like peanut butter and nuts and seeds and guacamole, you're going to want to keep them low because your job right now is to drain that fat out of your cells.
Okay.
Now, for type 1, the pancreas isn't making insulin anymore. So you'll still need to inject insulin if you have type 1. However, I would still do exactly the same diet, vegan, low fat. And the reason is, number one, you discover that your insulin requirements go down.
Absolutely, yep.
And secondly, what is going to kill a person with type 1 and what's going to hurt them on the way to their ultimate demise is not a high blood sugar or a low blood sugar in most cases. It's artery disease. Their arteries are being attacked by this disease process. You don't want a scrap of cholesterol in your diet. You don't want animal fat in your diet. You want to baby your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And so a plant-based diet is a way to reduce the complications as well as reducing your insulin needs.
Absolutely. You know, we see that, you know, in the glycation process, you know, whether it's, you know, ultimately going to lead to blindness. And I think that's the leading cause of blindness in our country is you know, complications of diabetes.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Blindness, neuropathy.
Yeah, neuropathy.
Where your feet are killing you. They hurt because your nerves are being attacked by the disease. We did a study with people who had late-stage diabetes also. They had neuropathy, painful neuropathy. And we found that this diet helps them too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I got to say is important because the drugs for neuropathy, in my view, are almost like placebos. They don't help very much.
Mm-hmm.
But the diet change helps not only the neuropathy in many cases, but it helps everything else. It helps you lose weight. It brings your blood pressure down, brings your cholesterol mm-hmm. down. All these things happen at the same time. And by the way, let me jump in and say real quickly, I can imagine a listener thinking, you're going to make me a vegan? I don't even like folk music.
Okay. You know?
And I don't wear tie-dye. You know, what's this about? And so I want to encourage them that you don't take this on faith. Just all you do is take about a month and test it out for yourself. Don't worry about what you're going to eat a year from now. Take maybe a week and try out
healthy
plant-based foods. I got lots of recipes for you. And then take 3 weeks and actually eat those foods. Kind of road test the healthy, low-fat, vegan diet for yourself. It will change your life.
It absolutely will. You know, I remember I went vegan for 45 days right after reading the China study many years ago. And I was blown away. And I thought, oh my gosh, how the heck am I going to go vegan? I tell you what, after 3 days, it was really no big deal. And then before I know it, a week had gone by, and then 2 weeks, and then 4 weeks, and then five weeks. Yeah, so I did go to a Cubs game, though. It was day 45. I'm like, I got rooftop tickets. It's like, oh, you can eat. I'm like, I'm going off the rails, people. And I will tell you, oh my God, I didn't know that I could feel that bad. Seriously, but you know, my body had been so clean by that time. And then when I was just eating all this processed foods, I felt like I had been hit by a truck that very same day. So you make a good point. It's like, don't take your word for it. I like to say, be a good scientist, go experiment for yourself. And people think, you know, whether I'm, you know, recommending they go grain free or vegan, it's like, be a good scientist, do your own experiment, see how you feel after 3 days or 5 days or 7 days, because it will blow your mind. And, you know, coming back, you know, to the title of your book, your body will start to be in balance. Stick around. You're listening to Mind Over Matter. So I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. We've got a very special guest, Dr. Neil Barnhard, the author of Your Body in Balance, the new science of foods, hormones, and health. We will be right back.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen, with a very special guest, Dr. Neil Barnhard. He is the author of Your Body in Balance, the new science of foods, hormones, and health. If you missed any of this show, you can check out a podcast on this great station, or you can check us out online. It is thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. Doc, if our listeners want to contact you, I know you are a prolific author. You do a lot of great work. How can they contact you? How can they reach out to you and learn more about the groundbreaking work that you're doing and the healing work?
Well, thank you. Our website is PCRM.org. That stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org.
Love that. Love that. So, you know, I opened the show asking a very provocative question, men out there. You know, what if I told you that you could completely reverse your erectile dysfunction without medications? Would you believe it? You know, a lot of times, you know, guys are like, what? What are you talking about? But you talk about that in your book. You know, a lot of men struggle with ED. What's the role for nutrition in that disorder?
Oh, I got it. I have to tell you, the role is huge. And the same scenario plays out in every clinic in the world. The guy goes into the clinic, says to the doctor, "Doctor, I'm having trouble. I can't raise the flag." And
yeah.
The doctor, you know, they have a million euphemisms for this.
Yeah.
And so the doctor says, "You want a Viagra prescription, is that right?" And the patient says, "Yeah, doc, that's what I need." So the doctor writes it out, and the patient takes the prescription and goes out the door and says, "Thanks, doc." If this is a good doctor, he or she will race after the patient and say, "Stop, wait,
come back and
sit down, because we are not done." And what the doctor has to explain to the patient is that the erectile dysfunction is not caused by performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not caused by him being older. What it's caused by is atherosclerosis. What that is, it's a condition where the arteries are narrowed. A high cholesterol, high fat diet has been gradually forming little, what are like blisters, inside the arteries. These are atherosclerotic plaques, and they narrow the arteries all over the body. And so they're narrowing the arteries in the heart, the arteries to the brain. But the first place where you start seeing symptoms is usually not in the heart or the brain. It's in the man's private parts, because that's where the arteries are the narrowest. And if a man doesn't get blood flow through his arteries to his private parts, nothing happens, which is to say that the man's private parts are a hydraulic system where if you have to have good blood flow in order for it to do its thing. And if you don't get blood flow through, then he's got erectile dysfunction. So what the doctor explains to the patient is you're throughout your body, you've got atherosclerosis, and that's what's being manifested by erectile dysfunction. And the most important thing is that you, because of your erectile dysfunction, we now know you're at high risk for a heart attack or stroke within the next three to five years. So take the Viagra if you want. It won't reverse any of this stuff. What you need to do is now change your diet. And I want you to get the cholesterol and the fat out of your diet and get on a healthy diet. And if the doctor is smart, he or she will recommend four foods: a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruits, a lot of beans or other legumes, and whole grains. These foods have no cholesterol, no animal fat, and that will allow the artery disease to start to reverse. We've seen a lot of men where they reverse their erectile dysfunction.
Oh, yeah.
They're losing weight, their diabetes gets better.
And within weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they are blown away by that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that has such a profound effect, not just on their sexual performance, but on their identity, their self-worth. A lot of times it can cause anxiety and depression. So it's, that impact extends far beyond the bedroom. So I'm glad, we're talking about the role of nutrition in ED, because it doesn't just affect the man. It affects, whatever partner, that man is with. But what about thyroid problems too? Because we're seeing thyroid disorders go through the roof. And we know that most thyroid dysfunction is really related to an underlying autoimmune dysfunction. But thyroid problems are becoming more and more common. Can foods help that too?
Yeah, they can. They can in two ways. And what you mentioned about autoimmune conditions is the most important issue. But before I get to that, let me mention kind of the simple issue, which is the thyroid hormone is made in your thyroid, which is at the base of your neck. And the thyroid hormone goes in the bloodstream to the cells of the body to give them energy. So you wake up in the morning and you're feeling sluggish and tired, and you're gaining a little bit of weight, and your hair doesn't look right, and your skin doesn't seem healthy, and it's an absence of thyroid hormone. Your thyroid gland needs iodine to make this hormone. And iodine isn't in a whole lot of foods. And that hasn't been a big problem in the United States, because iodized salt has been marketed in those little blue canisters with the girl with the umbrella, except that nowadays people are using sea salt or Himalayan salt or kosher salt, and they're starting to develop thyroid symptoms just because they're not getting iodine. So iodized salt helps that. Seaweed is, frankly, a great way to go, too. If you go to a sushi bar, don't have fish sushi unless you're very well insured, but have the cucumber roll or the asparagus roll or the sweet potato roll or something like that. The nori seaweed that it's wrapped in. See, all seaweeds are loaded with healthy iodine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one, get your iodine together. But the number two is this autoimmune reaction. For some reason, the body's white blood cells are overreacting to something, and they're making antibodies that are attacking the thyroid gland. They can cause it to function less, that's hypothyroidism, or in some cases, they goof up the regulation of the gland so it gets into hyperthyroidism. You're making too much thyroid hormone. But what we believe is that in at least some cases of these, this autoimmune reaction is triggered by food.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess dairy and meat are probably the biggest two.
Mm-hmm.
In the Adventist Health Study 2, it turned out that dairy eaters had much more hypothyroidism compared to people who avoided dairy. And for hyperthyroidism, it seemed to be this combination of meat and dairy products. In other words, exactly the diet that most of us grew up with. But the people who get off that diet are much less risk for thyroid problems.
To that point, we were talking about thyroid. We're talking about, your body imbalance, all your hormones. We had, mentioned earlier about estrogen. What about, particular foods that affect menopause? Tell me about that.
This has been an area of active exploration. I don't think we're done at all, but the exploration started in Japan. Back, if you looked in the 1960s, 60s and 70s, the Japanese diet was huge amounts of rice, some noodles, soy products, not very much meat, some fish, some meat, but even that was kind of a flavoring in for the rice. You know, no ice cream. It was not a dairy culture. And if you asked women about their experience of menopause, hot flashes were just not reported.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, researchers thought, well, they're just kind of reticent. You know, they don't want to talk about their bodies. But no, it wasn't that. Very in-depth interviews with women and with their doctors showed that sometimes they would talk about shoulder pain or back pain during menopause, but it was like hot flashes just were quite rare. And then McDonald's arrived,
mm-hmm.
and all the fast food chains came in, and the diet started westernizing. And breast cancer rates doubled in women who westernized their diets.
Yep.
Diabetes came in, weight problems, but also hot flashes came in, too. And so our theory is that a meaty, cheesy, greasy diet causes estrogen levels to rise artificially in the years prior to menopause, so that when a woman hits menopause, the change is so dramatic that she has these kind of reverberating waves of hot flashes. That's still a theory, but then the question is, what do you do if this is you? Well, let's say you've been maybe eating all the wrong things, and now you've got hot flashes. We don't have all the answers yet, but some researchers have taken a tip from the Japanese playbook, which is testing soy products.
Yeah.
They don't help everybody, but maybe, I'm going to say, 40% of women who put them to use discover their hot flashes are greatly reduced. Some of the women will say, I've got to go beyond just soy milk, and they go to the store and they use these soy powders that the bodybuilders get, and because it's soy protein. I'm not necessarily recommending that for anybody who isn't. But if you got hot flashes, you can try it. Mm-hmm. It's safe. It's not going to hurt you. And for some women, it helps.
And I appreciate you putting that out there. One of the things I want to say about the role of estrogen in thyroid is that all of our hormones need to be in balance. So our hormones don't work in isolation. You know, you can't just look at what's happening with your thyroid hormone without also looking at what's happening, relatively with your cortisol levels or your estrogen levels. So, when we come back, I want to talk about more about that. But I also want to talk about mood problems. You know, what roles do foods play in depression or anxiety? Because foods affect our moods. So when we come back, we're going to learn more about that. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen, with our very special guest, Dr. Neil Barnard. We'll be right back.
Want vibrant health, more energy, improved weight loss, or even better sleep than you've had in years? TI-22 Nutrition has you covered. We offer the best plant-based supplements in their purest form. Our supplements are combined in power packs to create a synergistic effect when taken together. TI-22 stands for titanium, and we are committed to helping you achieve optimal health. Order now. Visit TI22Nutrition.com. Stronger bodies, stronger minds.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
Hi, I'm Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen of Dr. Amy and Associates. One of the services we provide, mental health and wellness. We see children, adolescents, and adults for individuals, couples, and family counseling. We even do psychiatry and medication management. All of our thoughts, feelings, and actions are a result of those conditioned ways of thinking, feeling, and being that lead us to make decisions. And so I work with individuals to help them understand and help them create a new blueprint to move them from a negative mindset to a positive mindset.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit Dr. Amy. AmyandAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to our show today titled Your Body in Balance. We've got Dr. Neil Barnard here. He is the author of Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Foods, Hormones, and Health. So if you've missed any of the show, you can catch a podcast on this great station or check us out online. It is thecifhw.com. You can certainly reach out to Dr. Barnard. Again, what is that information where listeners can learn more about what you're doing, Doc?
Our website is pcrm.org. It stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, pcrm.org. responsiblemedicine.org.
That's awesome. Speaking about responsible medicine, I know food needs to play a role in that. You know, Hippocrates, being the father of modern medicine, said let your medicine be food. So, but what about foods and moods? You know, what roles do food play in depression and anxiety?
This is another area where researchers have sort of been stumbling along, including my team. I have to say, we did a research study with Geico, the car company.
And we, what did the gecko have to say?
Well, the gecko is a vegan.
So of course.
He was already following a healthy diet. But we did it because, it, like any business, some people want to lose weight or they want better control of their diabetes. And so Geico said, let's try it here. And so they still would have maybe a hamburger in the lunch line, but next to it they would have the healthy veggie burger, and it was great working with them. And exactly what you'd think happened. When people, they would go vegan, and they would discover they'd lose weight, and their diabetes would get better, and that was great. But there was something we didn't quite expect, and that was that mood started improving.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, depression would diminish and anxiety would diminish, and also job absenteeism went down. And so other researchers started looking into the same thing, and they found that when people would change their diet, their mood would change. And we thought, well, that's because you're losing weight. You're feeling better. You're not on so much medication. That's all good. And that's true, but there's more to it. Your gut is connected to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And in your gut, in your intestinal tract, are bacteria, the microbiome. And if you're eating unhealthy stuff, gravy and meat and dairy products, that encourages the growth of unhealthy bacteria. When you switch to a plant-based diet of vegetables and fruits and grains and beans and that kind of stuff, your gut bacteria change quite rapidly. Healthier populations are supported. They end up making compounds that will feed back to the brain and improve mood. This is also an anti-inflammatory diet,
mm-hmm.
and that too. So other researchers have been testing out this kind of diet, and it does look like a meaty kind of diet is a downer for people. It affects not just your cholesterol, but your mood.
For sure.
And a plant-based diet is the opposite. It's sort of an upper. But now, once again, note of caution, don't cancel your psychiatrist appointment.
Right.
Depression is a real thing. Suicide is a real risk. And I want to make sure that people are careful about this, but there is every reason to follow a healthy diet. While you're at it, lace up your sneakers, go out on a nice sunny day with a friend. There's an antidepressant effect,
mm-hmm.
of exercise, too. Put this all together in addition to whatever other treatments you might be getting.
So let me ask you that. If a person wants to adopt a plant-based diet, how do they begin? What's the best way to start that?
Okay, number one, figure out what your motivation is. Why do you want to do it? Do you want to cure your cramps? Do you want to get your thyroid back working again? Do you want to get your cholesterol down? Are you aiming to reverse your diabetes? Once you know what your goal is, you're going to remember that during times of doubt.
Yeah, you need a big why.
Yeah, exactly. And then do my 1/3 method, 1 week, 3 weeks. Here's what you do. You take 1 week and just test out the things that you'll eat. So, okay, I'll have a bean chili instead of meat chili, or I'll go to the Subway and I'll have the vegan sub instead of the meat sub, or at an Italian restaurant, instead of the meat sauce, I'll try the marinara tomato,
mm-hmm.
sauce, whatever. So take a week and just figure out what those options are. I never had almond milk on my cornflakes in the morning. Maybe, I don't know if it's good, try it. You got a week. Then for 3 weeks, after the first week when you found out the food you like, now take 3 weeks. During those 3 weeks, have it be all vegan. For 3 weeks. That's easy because it's only 3 weeks.
Okay.
And secondly, you already tested the foods out and you found the ones you like. Now, at the end of that time, physically, you're going to be healthier.
Yeah.
Your blood sugar will be better. You'll be losing weight. You'll find your mood is elevated a little bit. Your energy is better. But the other thing is that you'll discover, kind of what you were saying earlier, your whole attitude about foods changes. You don't miss the bad stuff as much as you thought you would. And you're discovering all kinds of cool new things that were kind of waiting for you all along. And then you can decide, do I want to stick with this or not? And it's entirely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't beat yourself up if you goof up. There has never been a smoker who really made it stick the first
exactly.
time. You know, we kind of goof up.
Give but, yourself you know,
and
the space for grace, right?
Oh, I'm such a failure. You're not a failure. This is just an addicting substance, and food can be addicting too. So give it a shot. Do your best. And see what happens. And really, the more you do, the better your reward. Try my 1 week, 3 week methods can change your life.
I think that's awesome. Be a good scientist. find out what works for you and then give it a fair trial. I like to say that nothing tastes as good as healthy feels, and you will see that, you know, as you make some of these simple but strategic changes. But what about supplements? You know, because, you know, I've learned that you could eat from the Garden of Eden and not get the nutrition that you need solely from your food. What's the role of supplements?
There's one that I think everybody really ought to be taking. That's vitamin B12, especially if you're on a vegan diet. It's obligatory.
Yeah.
You need vitamin B12 for healthy nerves and healthy blood. And the amount you need is minuscule. It's 2.4 micrograms a day. But you don't need to write that number down. All you do is you go to the store.
How'd you know I was writing it down? I'm just kidding. I was, actually.
you go to the drugstore or you go to the health food store, and you just buy the smallest one they've got, because none of them have them quite that small. If you buy a multiple vitamin, even Flintstones or one a day or any, they all have B12 in them. But you don't want to miss it, because you need it for healthy nerves, healthy blood. The other one that I often encourage people to think about is vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Normally, it comes from the sun. The sun on your skin makes vitamin D, which is you need for healthy bones, and it probably reduces cancer risk. But if you're not getting sunlight, mm-hmm. because it's winter or it's raining or whatever, then a vitamin D supplement is a good idea. And most doctors would probably say around 2,000 international units a day would be a pretty normal and safe amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So let me ask you this. I know we've just got a couple of minutes left in the show, but what about, you know, when you talk with your medical colleagues about nutrition, are they surprised by what nutrition can do? Because, again, mainstream medicine, conventional medical model, it's not focused on healing or reversing chronic diseases. It's focused on symptom management. And most docs have no idea, you know, the massive role that nutrition plays in health. Are your colleagues surprised by all this?
They're often skeptical,
and
I think skepticism is a good thing generally, because there's all kinds of nonsense out there. But the good thing is that we test these things in randomized clinical trials and we know what works, we have evidence that we didn't used to have. So that's good. But what I discover among my medical colleagues is that they often feel very dissatisfied with what they have been doing. They're handing out pills. They notice that the person's diabetes doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Their high cholesterol level doesn't go away, and they feel like they're just a pill factory, and they're getting burned out in practice. They're not enjoying what they're doing. Once they're helping the patients to follow a healthy diet, suddenly your medical practice is now a partnership where you and the patient are working together. The patient has huge amounts of power they didn't have when they were just a funnel swallowing pills. And the doctors really enjoy it. At our medical center here, which is called the Barnard Medical Center, our doctors, our nurse practitioner, our nutritionists, and the whole staff, they follow healthy diets themselves, and they feel like they are really in a great partnership with the patients, and it just changes your practice.
It really does.
More and more doctors are doing it, and they're loving it.
I love that you mentioned that, because, you know, most doctors, they become doctors because they want to heal people. They want to make a big difference. I know at our practice at the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we're looking at the whole person, and our whole goal is to educate people about how they can, you know, not just reverse, you know, chronic health issues and successfully treat acute issues, but we want to put them in a position where they can achieve optimal health and wellness, and they become health independent, meaning, you know, we've had a great partnership while we were working together, you know, as partners in your healing journey, but we want you to be independent so that you don't have to rely on doctors, you know, and so it sounds like you guys are doing the same thing. You're educating, you know, your clients about the role of nutrition and how that plays out, and it sounds like, you know, everybody's passionate about what they're doing. So, you know, Doc, I'm loving what you're doing. I want to encourage you to do that great work, and I'm so happy, you know, that you've got the new book coming out. Listeners, I want to encourage you to pick it up. It's called Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Foods, Hormones, and Health. Dr. Barnard, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and I would love to have you back.
Thank you so much for all that you're doing, and thanks for including me in the program.
You got it. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
The preceding program, Mind Over Matters, was sponsored by TCFIHAW LLC, and to the extent applicable, their guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio or its management.